One of the things I love about Naples are all the different butterflies that flutter around at different times all throughout the year. I'm sure all of you have seen a monarch butterfly before. It's a familiar sight in most of the United States. And few butterflies can compare with the beauty of the monarch, with its black wings and orange and yellow as well. Each year, people in many regions of the United States are able to watch these butterflies migrate south as they head down during the winter to a forest of fir trees in the volcanic highlands of south-central Mexico. Environmentalists have identified 9 areas where the monarchs cluster in colonies, and Mexico has designated 5 of these sites as sanctuaries of protection. But that isn't enough, say researchers. The sanctuaries cover only 62 square miles. Meanwhile, poor farmers and commercial loggers are clearing fir forests, at times even in the restricted zones, putting increasing pressure on existing butterfly colonies. Lincoln Brower of the University of Florida said, "We're not going to see a monarch migration in 20 years if these reserves aren't expanded and protected." Like these beautiful, fragile butterflies coming to their winter home, God's Holy Spirit usually fills our hearts in gentle and tender ways. We must intentionally keep a sanctuary for Him, for many things would encroach upon His home in us: our sense of His manifest presence, our ability to hear His thoughts, our awareness of His direction. All can be lost if we do not safeguard a place for Him. And so the question I have for myself and for all of us this Pentecost Sunday is simply this: is your heart a sanctuary for the Holy Spirit? Is it a place where the Holy Spirit feels welcomed? You know, in the scriptures, as we look at them, it talks about you actually being a temple of the Holy Spirit. In Old Testament times, the Spirit would come and actually reside in the Ark of the Covenant, and it would be demonstrated by the glory of God that was manifested. But in our day in which we live, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit in this place and in this hour. In our first lesson today in Joel, you'll notice in your bulletins that there is a prophetic promise that is spoken by this prophet, and he shares the following, that God's promise to us is that He would pour out His Spirit upon all flesh. This actually was prophesied hundreds and hundreds of years before that first Pentecost took place. And poured out actually means to gush or to spill forth. It carries the idea of a cup being filled to overflowing, or a fountain that many of us have seen that's overflowing all of the time. That's the image that's being communicated about the baptism of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost, that the Spirit would come in power, and that the Spirit would come not with a trickle or a drip, 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 but it would come as a gusher, overflowing us and filling us in incredible ways. As you look at your second lesson today in the book of Acts, and I invite you to turn your bulletin to Acts 2, you'll notice in there are some very definite signs of the Holy Spirit's presence on Pentecost. First of all, it says that there was a sound of a violent wind that happened within the house or wherever they were. It was a sound of a mighty wind. And again, one of the things that's being communicated here in this lesson is that when the Holy Spirit shows up, you and I are going to know it. It's not going to be something you can hide or be able to put under a bushel, but when the Holy Spirit shows up in your life and in the life of a people, there will be demonstrable signs that you will see. And for the early church, it was a mighty wind, a violent wind. For those of you who were here during Irma, you know what that sounds like, and you know what that looks like. And in fact, as you look at the Old Testament, you hear the reality of the Spirit being talked about as a wind. You read about the reality of Jesus being with His disciples in the upper room, and it says that He breathed on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. So this whole idea of breath and wind is very much talking about the Spirit of God and how the Spirit moves in your life and my life as well. It says that the wind blows, but you know not where it goes. Again, very true of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will lead us in mysterious and incredible ways. Another second sign of the Holy Spirit that you'll read in your lesson today in Acts is that there were tongues of fire that came upon all of the disciples that were present there during that first Pentecost. Look around in this church right now for a moment. Look to your side, look in front of you, look behind you, look all around. Could you imagine what it would be like to look at one another's heads right now and notice tongues of fire coming out? Probably the first thing you try to do is put it out or something like that. But that would really be something amazing, wouldn't it? I mean, that would be an incredible sight. But again, this also speaks of another image of the Holy Spirit. And that is the Holy Spirit being fire. In fact, you'll notice today I'm wearing a red stole, and you'll notice that the altar coverings are in red as well. And the reason why they're red is because it's Pentecost Sunday, and we're celebrating the coming of the Holy Spirit, not as Casper the friendly ghost, not as a trickle or a whimper, but as fire that baptizes and fills his people with incredible power. That not only purifies them and burns them and draws them closer to him, but enables them with fire to proclaim God's word and touch people's hearts. And in fact, this flame of fire that was appearing above their heads was a witness to the tongues that they would verbally be able to speak. Now again, look in your scripture. And by the way, Skip, you did a great job reading all of those names. Thank you so much, all of those countries. It's a very difficult lesson today. But you'll notice that the disciples that were gathered there that day not only had a physical flame of fire, but they were able to speak in other languages that they had never spoken before. And they were speaking about the glories of God. They were proclaiming the gospel to all of these people that were from all different nations who had gathered in Israel to celebrate Pentecost. Not only were the people surprised when they heard these disciples proclaiming the gospel in their native tongue, but I imagine one of the most surprised groups of people on that Pentecost were the disciples themselves. What's this coming out of my mouth? I don't even know what I'm saying. But these people are understanding what they're hearing, and they're being touched by the Spirit of God. Now, I realize a lot of you, when you hear the gift of tongues, your eyes just kind of roll back in the back of your head. You start to get scared and concerned. You know, it's just something that you're not comfortable with. And I understand that. But you need to hear this scripture today. You need to receive this scripture today and stop being afraid of the Holy Spirit and start welcoming all the Holy Spirit has to give you. I ask you, isn't it a wonderful thing that on that first Pentecost day, the Holy Spirit gave his disciples the gift of tongues that were able to be understood by all of these different people from all over the world at that point, and a number of them came to the Lord at the end. Isn't that a great thing? I mean, really, that's part of the reason why we're here, believe it or not. We're not just here to come and worship God in this church on Sunday, but one of the most important things you and I do is as we leave this church, we're called to be anointed with the fire of the Holy Spirit that we might speak forth with our tongue the witness of Jesus Christ and that people would come to the Lord Jesus. That's why we're here. You don't seem too excited about that. That's why we're here. The third thing that happened on Pentecost is that the church was empowered. You'll remember the words of Jesus. He said to them before he ascended, when the disciples were really excited that Jesus rose from the dead, and they were ready to go out and talk all about him, you remember what he said to them? He said, wait, you're not ready. And they were feeling ready. They were feeling ready to go, but they did something incredible in their spiritual life. Probably one of the few times they did it up to that point, and that was they actually listened to what Jesus told them. I mean, go figure. They listened to what he said, and I think it was because they had experienced such a great defeat. up to that point, that they were ready to listen. Jesus said to them, wait until you've received the Holy Spirit. And the reason why Jesus told them that is because they needed the Holy Spirit. Guess what? You and I need the Holy Spirit. It is not optional. You might be living out your Christian life and saying, well, you know what? I have the Father. I have Jesus. This Holy Spirit thing, I'm not sure about. He kind of scares me anyways. So I'm just going to kind of go through my life really without living in the life of the Spirit. Well, if you go through your Christian life like that, you are not living in the fullness that God has called you to. And that is wrong. God has called you, just like the early disciples, to be empowered by the Holy Spirit, to be energized by the Holy Spirit, to be directed by the Holy Spirit, to be engulfed by the Holy Spirit, to be on fire by the Holy Spirit, that you might be his witnesses. Another thing you'll notice in your lesson here today in Acts is that all people received that Spirit. Joel talked about it as well, which was really revolutionary in the day. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit only came upon certain people. Sometimes a priest or a rabbi, a leader of the Jews of that day, a prophet, maybe a king. But the Holy Spirit didn't come upon everybody. And guess what? The Holy Spirit comes upon everybody now. It's not just for certain people. You should be excited about that. This is a wonderful thing. This is something to celebrate. This is why we celebrate with red today, because we celebrate the reality that God wants to fill each one of us with the presence and the power and the fire of his Holy Spirit as we live out our lives. Jews and Gentiles, male and female, young and old, can receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You know what happened on that Pentecost? It's not in this part of the lesson today in Acts 2, but if you read the rest of the story, it says over 3,000 came to Jesus Christ that day. They came partly because of the preaching of Peter, but let me tell you why else they came. It was because of the disciples earlier on who had the gift of tongues and were proclaiming the gospel to all of those people that were around them that were astounded by what was happening. And God was touching people's hearts in that moment. He was preparing them to come to Jesus Christ on that first Pentecost. There was an atmosphere of heaven on earth. God changed the atmosphere. It shifted in that moment on Pentecost. And you see, that first Pentecost was a beginning of the church. Today, we celebrate the birthday of the church. That's another way we look at Pentecost. And one of the realities for you and me is that as we celebrate this birthday of the church, one of the questions you and I need to ask is, are we living into it? Are we part of bringing the atmosphere of heaven to earth wherever we may go? In just a few minutes, you and I are going to be praying the Our Father. It might be your go-to prayer when things really get tough in your life. And there'll be a part of that prayer that we'll pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And you see, part of the fulfillment of that prayer is through you and through me. God wants to bring the kingdom of heaven upon this earth right now through you. Again, don't be looking to your left or right or thinking about who should be hearing this sermon right now. You should be hearing this sermon right now, and you should be that person. You and I should be those people who are being a witness, bringing the atmosphere of heaven on earth. Things aren't going to change in our world in this present moment by doing things the way everybody else is doing them. If you haven't noticed, let me just share a reflection of my own. It appears to me that things continue to devolve and break apart and fall apart in a lot of different ways in people's relationships with one another. And if we can continue to move in the world's way of doing things, that's just going to continue to happen. We are in a desperate hour where the atmosphere of heaven needs to pervade our earth through the anointing on God's people in this hour to speak into the darkness the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that would be you, and that would be me, and whomever else God is calling. So one of the great things we celebrate today is that you are called to be a sanctuary or a temple of the Holy Spirit. That is part of God's call in your life. That is part of God's invitation to you and to me. And one of the great things you and I can celebrate is that God has called us to live in a continual relationship with Him through the presence of the Holy Spirit. Now, some of you are saying to yourself, well, Father Joe, I know about the Father, I know about Jesus, but I really am not quite comfortable with the Holy Spirit. I just really don't have much of a relationship with Him. Well, let me share with you some thoughts about how you might foster that. One is, one of the things I do each day is I welcome the Holy Spirit every day into my life. Before I get up in the morning, before my feet hit the ground, I need the Holy Spirit. I mean, I just do. And so I welcome the Holy Spirit. You know, one of the things you and I need to realize is like we're like sieves. The Spirit, when the Spirit comes in, is just leaking out all over and through us, through our day, even our energy and things like that. And so at the beginning of the day, I welcome the Holy Spirit to come, and I ask the Holy Spirit to fill me afresh, to overflowing. I welcome the Holy Spirit to guide and lead my steps and to direct me in terms of what the Spirit would have me do. And I also ask the Holy Spirit to empower me, to enable me to have the grace and the fortitude to do the things that God might have me do. And probably most importantly, over time, what the Holy Spirit has led me to do is go with the flow of the Spirit. I have a schedule. I'm busy. I know you're busy as well. But there are moments that will happen during your day that will seem like interruptions, but actually they are divine appointments. And there have been so many instances in my life where that person who was interrupting my schedule brought a divine moment to me. It was a holy moment that God had intended from the very beginning, and I just needed to slow down enough to enjoy it and be a part of it. And so I pray that the Holy Spirit would fill this temple. And the other thing I would encourage you to do is spend some time worshiping the Lord, inviting the Holy Spirit to fill you, and opening up your senses to experience the Holy Spirit. If you've never experienced the Holy Spirit before, that's great. Start experiencing the Spirit now. Welcome the Holy Spirit fully and completely into your life, surrendering to the Spirit's guidance. And that's my next point. You need to surrender to what the Spirit leads you to do. Be in the Scriptures, be in prayer, and be open in your life to what's occurring. Listen to what the Spirit is directing you to do. What areas of sin grieve the Holy Spirit in your life? You know those areas that you keep going back to. Each of us have those struggles. And whenever you do, it's like the Spirit is away from you for a while. One of the things you and I need to cultivate is this, being that sanctuary of the Holy Spirit, where the Holy Spirit actually likes staying with us for more than 5 minutes. You can smile, it's okay. That the Holy Spirit might abide with us for maybe at least part of the day. And then we grow from there for a full day and more and more and more, to where the Spirit can move through you in very powerful and amazing ways. John Wesley wrote in his journal about an experience with the Holy Spirit that he had. The love of God was shed abroad in my heart, and a flame kindled there with pain so violent, yet so very ravishing, that my body was almost torn asunder. I loved. The Spirit cried strong in my heart. I sweated. I trembled, I fainted, I sung. I joined my voice with those that excel in strength. What a wonderful, incredible experience of the Holy Spirit that John Wesley had, one of the forefathers of the Anglican Church, filled with the Holy Spirit, baptized in the Spirit of God, because he hungered for all that God wanted for him. And my question to us this morning is, what are you hungry for? Other than the Big Mac that you might have later on or whatever you're going to be eating, what are you hungry for in your spiritual life? What do you want is what you're going to get. I encourage you on this Pentecost to be open to being hungry for the Holy Spirit in your life. To be open to the life and the joy and the peace and the power and the energy the Spirit desires to bring you. To be that sanctuary of the Holy Spirit where the Spirit just abides with you. Like those monarch butterflies in central Mexico, they hang out the whole winter. You know, it's like all of the snowbirds that come down here to Naples over season. They don't go up too soon back up to winter. They usually wait till it's over. That's the way the Holy Spirit needs to abide with you and me, that the Holy Spirit might work through us. My prayer for us today is a personal Pentecost. Wherever you are right now in your relationship with the Spirit, whatever is going on in your life, wherever you may be, wherever you aren't, I want to encourage you to be open to a deeper relationship with the Holy Spirit that is transforming for you. What is the Holy Spirit's next step for your life right now? What is that? And are you open to that? Are you open to the Spirit and surrendering to His presence and guidance in your life?